the Washington Examiner story about with Bannon saying, I could care less of whether we ever mend fences with the, quote, mainstream, close quote, media.
Right. I mean, that's the guy is clearly not, you know, the question is, how does he get out behind this narrative? Because people were worried that Trump is definitely sort of a fragile ego. So if there's too much of these stories about Bannon being the real intellectual force of the administration, there was some speculation that Trump might not like that and then seek to sandbag Steve Bannon. But Bannon's given a couple of interviews, including that one, where he said, you know, why I'm not speaking to the media, why the relationship is so bad. And, you know, in that Examiner piece, he's basically completely unapologetic that why would I talk to you if you're trying to portray me as Trump's Rasputin? And, you know, he's basically doubling down.
Now, what else is going on with Bannon? I thought it was instrumental, the Mark Ambinder piece that's out at theweek.com today. I went through that thing and I just demolished all of his arguments. Who are all the they's, you's, and we's of people that hate Trump that are in his administration, people that are afraid of Trump that are in his administration, people that despise Trump that are in his administration, and who is it that's telling him all these things?
Right. So some of these, this sort of Trump Kremlinology is in the Atlantic piece. The title was The Nationalist Right is Coming for Priebus. And then so the thing that happened, obviously, in the last week is that Mike Flynn stepped down. And there's been a lot of writing about why that was, what led to it, and whether it was sort of the result of this power struggle between Reince Priebus's faction and Steve Bannon's faction. And Matt Boyle, the notorious Matt Boyle, my former colleague at the Daily Caller, now a sort of Breitbart's strongest young Turk of a reporter, wrote a story that went strongly after Priebus, after Flynn stepped down, and Bannon was reportedly very, very unhappy about it, because basically he understands he understands that Breitbart is always going to be seen as kind of his outlet, because he did lead it for so long, even though he's not doing it right now, and that it would be playing up these divisions within the White House. Bannon kind of read Boyle the Riot Act after writing that piece. So clearly he's trying to kind of downplay the differences between himself and Reince Priebus. But the people that are interested in seeing this kind of purge continue, if the sort of nationalist side wins, the next one to go would be Priebus. If the other side wins, the next one to go would be maybe Kellyanne Conway and then maybe Steve Bannon himself.
So you're saying that inside the Trump administration, the rumor is that there are two factions. There's the nationalist, and what's the other faction?
Sort of the RNC, I guess you'd have to call it.
Oh, okay. Well, Reince is the RNC faction then, right?
Exactly.
And so Bannon is the Rasputin of the cabinet here. You know what's... Isn't Bannon? All right. No, Bannon's made contact. I know in the past he's been to the Vatican. I'm unclear as to whether or not he's been lately. Has it been lately?
Oh, I actually don't know the answer to that. But
I don't think he has.
The BuzzFeed story that found his speech that he gave at the Vatican, I think it was at like the Pontifical Institute for Life or something like that, where he sort of lays out his broad nationalist vision. And that was... kind of the start of a lot of these scare stories, because he mentions some of these traditionalist philosophers. He seems to kind of articulate a sort of return to Christendom kind of worldview, the sort of clash of civilizations thing, that the West needs to regain its nerve, rediscover Christendom, and you know, start beating back Islam again. And
I'm all in, by the way.
Yeah, hey, I've got no objections there, but exactly what his intellectual influences were, I think a lot of people use that as cause for concern. Among them, Evola, he's a philosopher who's, I think his main crime is that he's a boring writer, but he is a sort of big influence on the alt-right, because he has this sort of, beguiling esotericism to the way he writes. He writes about, you know, kind of race spirituality, riding the tiger, you know, the epic of the Kali Yuga, this sort of this idea of the passing of the age into something new and birthing a new age. And the idea is, or the theory is that Bannon himself adheres to some of this, which I think is questionable.
So does that make, that makes you and I then Bannonistas or Bannonites?
Well, maybe, but I would say it's not even clear what Bannon himself believes, so I'd be reluctant to use that.
Well, now if you want to talk about restoring Christendom and taking it to the Muslims, then we have no disagreement there. As a matter of fact, my friend, Brother Alexis Bugnolo, has founded an entity called the Ordo Militaris. The Ordo Militaris is basically a for-profit military entity, kind of like Blackwater, but run by a Catholic friar, a Franciscan friar, who's going to provide military services to Christians who are being attacked by Muslims in the Middle East and countries where they can. So I think that some of this is already, has already begun, and I don't think it's coincidental that Brother Alexis did this and began this in late 2016 and now carries it on into 2017. And to that end, here's another story from Bloom's Pile of Prep. The media coverage on Syria is the biggest media lie of our time. Interview with a Flemish priest in Syria. This is an interview with Father Daniel Mize, or Mays, as I guess is the way you pronounce it. And Father Daniel says that what's going on in Syria, what's being reported in Syria, is not what is actually happening in Syria. So what is actually happening, according to Father Daniel?
Well, so this is a really remarkable interview. It was republished at the Ron Paul Institute, but he basically says the media has been telling you complete lies about what's going on in Syria. So the interviewer was actually trying to push him about... So there's been this sense that these the Christians that are writing, giving their opinions about what's going on in Syria, are somehow tied to the regime and that discredits them. So the interviewer was asking them all this stuff. So the interviewer says, you say the Syrian army protects civilians, yet there are all sorts of reports about war crimes committed by Assad's forces, such as the bombardments with barrel bombs. And Father Daniel, he just has no time for any of that. He says, do you not know the media coverage on Syria is the biggest media lie of our time? They have sold pure nonsense about Assad. It was actually the rebels who plundered and killed. Do you think that the Syrian people are stupid? Do you think that they were forced to cheer for Assad and Putin? It is the Americans who have a hand in this, for pipelines and natural resources in this region, and to thwart Putin. So it's a very, very remarkable interview. But as far as, to go back to Bannon real quick, I just wanted to finish this thought. He's sort of articulated or reached out to conservative forces in the Vatican. This was part of the another New York Times story about him, that he seemed to be making overtures to Cardinal Burke, who's sort of the head of the traditionalist wing in the Catholic Church right now, kind of the traditionalist resistance to Pope Francis.
Right, right.
And so that's kind of another interesting angle, though. There doesn't seem to be any evidence of any kind of substantive cooperation between the two.